Father, we want to thank you that we can be here. We can be here because of you. We are here because you love us. We are here because you gave your Son for us. We are here with an joy in our heart because of the love you have for us, God. We are here with an expectation that you would speak to us. And God, I pray that you'll speak through your word and not through my words. And God, I pray that what will be remembered, what will be received, will be your word, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll open our hearts to receive from you that which you want to impart to us today. And I thank you, God, that that will lead to life. And we bless you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. I want to start off with 2014. It's 2014. It's a new year. With it brings new opportunities. And for many, the new year brings the opportunity to start a new chapter. We turn a page. We dream again. We focus more on the future than we do on the past. And we set for ourselves goals. And we strive to meet that New Year's resolutions and all those type of stuff. Who of you have got goals in your life? Okay, there's some of you that has goals. My sermon is not about setting goals as such. But we all have needs and desires in our lives that we wish and dream and plan and hope that will be met. And that's part of life, you know, the dreams and the desires and the goals that we set for ourselves. And with those goals come priorities. And it's within this context of having desires and needs and setting goals that is linked to that, within that context of really looking to the future, I really believe God is speaking to us through a very well-known scripture. And I want to share that with us because I really believe it is so important for us to also just hear God's heart. And I really believe this is for us here today. And I want us to turn, and if you've got your Bible here, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6 and you can stay there because we're going to spend most of our time in Matthew chapter 6. And I want to read this portion of scripture that I really believe that God is speaking to us here today. And that is here in Matthew 6, verse 33, where God says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." In the context of our needs, our desires, our goals that we set for ourselves, I really believe God is saying, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." There are four points that I would like to share with you this morning, and I want to start off with the first, which is kind of the obvious one. God says to us, in the context of our needs, our desires, our goals that we set in life, God is speaking, and he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." You know, the reality of life is we're all seeking after things. We're all seeking after different things and multiple things. And within the context of that, God is not ignorant of that. He's not saying that seek only the kingdom of God. He says seek first. In other words, in the context of everything that we are searching after, everything that we're seeking for, all the goals that we have in life, God is saying that the first thing should be the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he spoke in this context. And he's not ignoring our other needs and desires. He's just saying the thing that should be first is the kingdom of God. The Greek word for first, proton, literally means firstly in time, in place, in order, or importance, first in rank. And God is saying there are many things in your life that you're seeking after, but this thing should be first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. So he's speaking about priority. What is the priority in your life? The kingdom of God. His righteousness, and then the other things. But he's also speaking more than just priority. He's speaking about pursuit, which is equally important. God says, seek first. And I really believe that God is speaking about more than just priority in our life. He's speaking about a pursuit in life. The Greek word for seek is zetio, that means to seek after, to strive after, to crave and demand something from someone. I mean, that's so powerful because God is saying when you seek after the kingdom and his righteousness, it's not just a nice to have. But it's more than just a nice to have. You know what? It's like having the third car. That's where the third car comes in. You know, it's nice to have a third car. You know, that third one that's a 4x4 that's kitted out with all the camping gear and the fridges and the tents and all the gadgets that's actually just in the garage. We never drive with it. We only use it when we go camping. You know, we've got the other two cars that we use to go to work and to school and do everything with. This third one is the one that we leave only for camping. You know, the nice to have. And God is saying, you know, the kingdom of God is not a nice to have. It's something more than that. It's a pursuit. It's a hunger and thirst for something. And so many Christians, when we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, many times when we talk about seeing the kingdom come in Swakopmund, it's like so many Christians think of it as a nice to have. Wouldn't it be nice to have the kingdom of God here? Wouldn't it be nice to have the kingdom of God in our schools? It's like a nice to have. But God is saying the kingdom is not a nice to have. It should be a hunger and a thirst within us, something that we pursue more than anything. So it's more than just priority. It's the craving for, a seeking after, a demand. It's almost like, who if you've got babies? There's some babies. Anybody else with babies? Who if you had babies? You know, babies, when they're hungry and thirsty, they have a way of demanding it, doesn't they? Don't they? They demand it. It's not, you know, nice to have. I'm hungry. It would be nice, Mom, if I could get some milk. No, they don't. They scream like, ah! Ah! And they keep on screaming. They keep on demanding until they find it. Isn't that true? And when God says seek first, it's kind of that same Greek concept of craving after, seeking for, demanding from someone something. And God is saying, but seek first. In all your life and all the desires and all the needs and all the cravings, this thing should be first in your life. But seek first. It's a hunger and a thirst for. You know, Matthew 5 verse 6, it speaks of that. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I mean, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I mean, my question that I would like to ask you this morning is a simple one. I believe it's a question that God is asking all of us here today, and that is simply, what are you hunger and thirst for? What are the things that you hunger and thirst for? What is the thing that you really want in life? Because what you hunger and thirst for will determine what you will be satisfied with. The thing that you hunger and thirst for will determine what you will be satisfied with. I mean, and I can spend so much time on that. It's not just what you will receive, but what is the thing that will fulfill you. So it's a very simple but yet so important question. What are the things that you hunger and thirst for? What are the things in life that you really want? God says, but in the context of everything, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things shall be added to you. Very powerful what God is saying, and this is really where I can end. I'm only here about once a year, so I just threw two sermons together, and this is the first sermon. I can stop here. For some of you, this is it. God is just asking you, what are you hungry and thirsty for? Simply just asking you, what is your priority in life? What are you seeking after? But seek first kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added to you. So I'm going to leave it there. That's for some of us here today. But then I would like to continue because I believe God is saying something equally important to some of us here today. And that we find in the context of which God has spoken these words. This well-known portion of Scripture finds itself within a context. And when you do Bible school, if you haven't done Bible school, I want to encourage you to do Bible school. Because one of the things that you will learn in the interpretation of Scripture is to, when God speaks to you, is to take that Scripture, take that verse and read it in its context. Allow God to speak to you. Because we don't really want the interpretation of man. We want the interpretation of God. When God speaks to us, I'm not so much concerned about what other people say about the Scripture. I want to know what God says about the Scripture. And that's the power of reading something in context. When God speaks to you, read it in context and then allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. Because I can ask you here, what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? And I'm sure all of you will have different opinions on what it means to seek first the kingdom of God, but I want to challenge you to allow God to speak to you what it means. Allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. And one of the ways to do that is simply to read that portion of Scripture in its context and see what is God actually saying. And I want us to do that tonight, or this morning, this afternoon. Where are we? It's still morning. I want us to turn to the context of what God is saying. So I want us to look at verse 33 in its context and see what is God saying to us. So I want us to go to verse 25 and I want us to start to read this portion of Scripture in which God is speaking and see if we can see and hear what God is saying. See if we can pick up a pattern, the context in which He is speaking to us. Here from verse 25 it says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lily of the fields and how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field with each today and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." See, all of a sudden, when we read it in context, we see it opening up and God is speaking to us about something. And I believe that something is equally important to us. And verse 25 summarizes that so beautifully. In Matthew 6, verse 25, it says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." Do not worry about your life. I mean, who of you worry about stuff? Maybe be honest. Who of you are stressing? You know? I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. Just close your eyes. Just don't look around. Just close your eyes. I just want you for a moment, just bring those things that you are worrying and stressing about. Just bring those things before the Lord. I just want you to name those things. Lord, these are the things that causes stress and worry and fear in my life. I love the way how God speaks through His Son. And He says, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life." Isn't that amazing? You can open your eyes. God is speaking to you. And He says, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. I mean, we are trapped within this temporal world, within the reality and the constraints and the restrictions and the challenges of this natural world and the fallen nature of this world and the pressures and the stresses and the demands and the limitations and the temptations. And here God, from a different perspective, God looks upon us from a different perspective than to where we are standing. And you know, this is a different perspective. This is the Almighty God, the All-Powerful, the All-Knowing, the Eternal, the Creator of everything, the Sustainer of everything. This is God Almighty looking from His vantage point, speaking to us here. And He says, therefore I am saying to you, do not worry about your life. I mean, we sometimes miss this. This is God eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, that can do anything, knows everything. He says from His vantage point, and He speaks to us in the context of our fears and limitations and stresses and worries and temptations. He's saying to us, He's saying to you, do not worry about your life. Different perspective. I mean, it's God emphasizes, you know, this point. Yeah, in verse 6, verse 31, He says, therefore, do not worry about your life. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink and what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God is speaking. And you know what is so awesome? I love this word, therefore. Do you see it starts there with a therefore? Now, I love the Word of God. I love reading it. I love studying it. And one of my favorite words in Scripture is the word therefore. I'm one of those people that underline the therefore whenever I read it. Who have you underlined therefore? Okay, there's somebody. You know, I love therefore, because therefore is so powerful. Because therefore, there's always a promise that follows this therefore. And the therefore points to the premise of the promise. It points to the foundation of this promise. It points to the reason there is a promise. It points to the ground on which this promise stands. And here God says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. And the therefore points to this premise of this promise. And you know what? Here in 31, it says, therefore, do not worry. What shall we eat and what shall we drink? And what shall we wear? And if you look at the therefore, the premise, he actually points to nature, doesn't he? He says, look to the birds in the air. Look to the lilies in the field. Look how God cares for all the living creatures in the universe. Just look how He cares and sustains for them. And you are of far more value than they. Therefore, do you see that? God is speaking in a context of something. This is the Almighty, All-Knowing, All-Powerful, the Creator of the universe, the One that sustains the universe. And He says, just look around you, how I sustain everything around you, and you are of far more value than all of these things. I gave my Son for you. I gave my life for you. I mean, how do we determine the value of this bottle of water? How much is this worth? Who can tell me? $7. Why is it $7 worth? Because that's what people are prepared to pay for it. Now, if somebody would take this bottle and stand up and say, I will give you, Andries, $1 million for this bottle. What has happened? Did the water change? But all of a sudden, I'm going to put this thing in a glass case. Because now it's worth $1 million. Okay? Christ, God, has come and placed value on your life, not with gold and silver. He's given His Son for you. And He says, listen here, if I sustain nature around you, how much more will I not sustain you? Because you're of far more value than all these things. Therefore, do not worry. But that's not all. It's not just God Almighty speaking. It's not just God from His vantage point, the eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing God that speaks into our lives. You know what's so powerful? God is speaking through Christ. God is speaking through Christ. Which makes it even more powerful. This is God, the incarnated, the Word of God that became flesh, that lived amongst us. This is the God that came to live amongst us. And this is God that's not just speaking from eternity. This is God in our midst. You know, I have become like you. I've become man. I've lived among you. I'm facing the same realities. I'm facing the same fears. I'm tempted in the same way. And I'm saying to you, do not worry about your life. This is not just a God that speaks from His vantage point where He created everything perfect. This is Christ that lived amongst us, that come to live in the midst of our sinful world and face the same pressures. That is saying to us, I understand where you're coming from. I understand the world that you're living in. I understand your fears. And therefore, I'm saying to you, do not worry about your life. I'm not just the God who created the world perfect and cannot relate to the fallenness and the weakness. I physically came down, delivered for myself. In Hebrews 4, we read of that, verse 15. It says, for we do not have an high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was in all points tempted as we were and are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And it is this God, from His vantage point, eternally and present, that speaks to us and says, and speaks to you and says, do not worry about your life. Therefore, I say to you, the eternal, almighty God, do not worry about your life. Saying to you, look to my Father and do not worry. Matthew 6 verse 31 says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink and what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, I want to stop here for the moment, and I want to talk about these things. Because there's been a misconception, especially in the charismatic world, through prosperity teaching and all kinds of other stuff, where people interpret for themselves what it means without reading in the context and without allowing Scripture to define and interpret Scripture. We've come up with some great and wonderful things. But within its context, I just want us to look at what does these things mean. Because some people think that these things is the second and the third home or the third car. But Jesus was not speaking about desires. He was speaking about needs. And the context of this whole scripture is our basic needs. He said food and clothing. Don't worry about what you're going to eat and where you're going to stay and where you're going to wear. I know that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and I will take care of your needs. And please, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not saying that God cannot satisfy your desires also. I'm not saying that God cannot bless you financially also. I'm not saying it's wrong to be rich. All that I'm saying, that's not what God promises. He says, I know what you need. And if you pursue me, I will take care of your needs. That's what He promises. God promises us eternal life. He's not promising us wealth on earth. He's not promising that. And I'm not saying He can add that. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying that's not what He promises. I'm not saying it's wrong to have wealth. I'm not saying it's wrong to be rich. I'm just saying that's not what God promises. He promises us eternal life. And He says, I'll take care of your needs. I know what you need. And this whole portion of Scripture It's about moving our hearts from the stuff in this world and the things that the world values, the things that the world says will satisfy you, the things that the world says will give you joy, the things that the world says will give you peace. And God is speaking about our hearts. What do we trust in? What do we pursue? What are we hungry and thirsty for? What do we really want in life? And God is saying, don't pursue the stuff. Pursue me. Because in me, you will find life. That will not bring you life. It will not bring you joy. It will not bring you peace. I am the source of peace. Pursue me. So it's about our heart. In this world, you know what? God is speaking about getting our hearts out of the premise, the principle, the foundation in which the promises of the world says. The world says, if you have more money, if you have more stuff, you're going to be happy. That's what it says. It says the more stuff you have, the more happier you will be. The more stuff you have, the more at peace you will be. You know, that place where you can go, I'm fine. I'm safe. I'm being cared for. I don't need to worry. I can just breathe out and say, you know what? Life's good. I have nothing to fear. I don't need to worry. Life's good. And the world says you can't have that unless you have lots of stuff. And you need to have more stuff. The world says if you have enough stuff, enough money, enough goods, enough houses, enough wives, enough cars, then you're going to come to that place where you have peace. And God, from his perspective, is looking down at that and he says, you must move your heart from that. That will not bring you peace. Knowing me will bring you peace. Where do you put your heart at? Moving our hearts to trust and base our lives on the premise, the principle that governs the kingdom of God. And I think verse 25 points this so clearly. It points to this so clearly. Yeah, in verse 6, chapter 6, verse 25, it says, therefore, I say to you. See, there's another therefore. I don't know if you've ever read what this therefore means. This whole portion of the fact that God says, do not worry about your life, but seek first, and I will add everything else to you, stands on another promise, another premise. It says, therefore. So I want us to look, what is this therefore pointing to? I want us to go to verse 19 so that we can read from 19 to 25 to see what is this therefore pointing to. And here in verse 19, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor vermin destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. You see, it's all about where's your heart? What are the things that you hunger and thirst after? What are the things that you really want in life? And God is saying, move that from stuff to the kingdom, from this world to my righteousness. And then he goes on in verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters. You will either hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, verse 25. I tell you, do not worry about your life. You see the context in which God is speaking? He's saying something very powerful. He says, listen here, you must move your heart. What are you hungry and thirsty for? Because what you're hungry and thirsty for will determine what you'll be satisfied with. And if you want me, you cannot pursue that first. You've got to pursue me first. That cannot be your priority first. I must be your priority. And you've got to move your heart. You've got to move your heart. And God is saying something powerful. He says, listen, you can't do both. You can't equally pursue. You can't hunger and thirst the same for both. He's not saying it's wrong to, but you understand what God is saying. You can't do both. You got to decide who, where you're going to put your trust in. What are you hungry and thirsty for? The thing that you're hungry and thirsty for, the thing that you want the most in life, what is that? And God is saying, because you have chosen not to put your trust in riches, but you've put your trust in me. Because you've made this decision. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. And I want to declare to you, if you put your trust, if you move your heart, if the thing that you hunger and thirst for, the thing that you really want, the thing that you're seeking for first, God is saying to you today, therefore I say to you, because you've chosen me over everything else, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Because you've chosen me. Don't worry about your life. Getting our hearts out of this world and into the kingdom. Getting our hearts out of the premise and the principle that governs this world and moving our hearts to trust and base our lives on the premise and the principle that governs the kingdom of God. You know why this is so important? Because there are just so many Christians that are offended with God. Have you met them before? Christians that get offended with God. Because they didn't get the stuff. They didn't get the stuff. Because they came into the kingdom of God thinking that what God is promising them is stuff. But what God is promising us is eternal life with Him in His presence, where there's fullness of joy. And for me, it wasn't so difficult. For me, it was easy. I know. I got saved at the point of suicide. I hated myself. Life, I was in depression. Life was unbearable. I didn't like myself. I hated myself. Nobody liked me. Everybody hated me. Life was just too unbearable. I couldn't stand it anymore. And at the point of suicide, of taking my life, God intervened and He said, no, stop. I love you. I've given you my son that you will not die but live. And it is at that point where I realized that God saved me not just to live here, but because of my sin, I was heading to hell. And that was my destiny. And God says, no, I love you so much. I don't want you to die. I don't want you to burn in hell because of the consequences of all the stuff that you've done. I've given you my son and I've taken all your guilt and I placed it on him. And I punished him so that you can be free. That changed my life when I realized how God sees me. And all of a sudden, I'm grateful to this very day because I'm not going to hell. That's why I'm grateful. I worship God because He loves me and He's given me life eternal and He embraces me and I don't have to fear Him. And it doesn't matter whether I get the second house or I get the third car. It doesn't matter because it's not about that. It's about knowing Him, about my eternity with Him. And so many people come into the kingdom because they are promised stuff. They are promised a better career, they are promised more wealth, they are promised more houses and more wives and whatever, and they don't get it, and then they are offended with God. God never promised that. And again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that God can bless us with our desires. He's a good father, but that's not what He promises. He promises life with Him. He promises peace. And knowing and that joy that comes with that. And within that place, you know what God adds to us without any sorrow. But that's what our lives are meant to be like. You know, there's a friend of mine that says, you know, we were speaking about this and he said, you know, you see so many Christians, they were hungry and thirsty for stuff, for money, for wealth, for fame, for all these things. And they were pursuing that. And then God speaks to them through the scripture and says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first. And they say, okay, God, okay, I'm going to leave this stuff and I'm going to first seek you. And then you're going to add all this stuff to me. So I'm following you, God. I'm following you. And we have strings attached. We are following Jesus with the condition that He's going to add all this stuff to me. And then at some point we realize, but this stuff didn't come. And then we get offended and hurt. Why don't you seek me first? Seek me for finding me. Don't seek me for finding stuff. I'm not here for stuff. I'm here for eternity. That's why I love you. Seek me for me. Don't seek me for stuff. We are meant just to pass through, remember? Strangers in this world. Our destination is eternity with God. Everything in this world, you must understand, everything in this world is geared to distract you from your destination. To distract you, to trap you, and to destroy you. So that you will not get there. Because the devil knows by killing you, hurts God more than anything. And that's what he does. I mean, that's 2 Timothy. You know, nobody preaches on this, 2 Timothy 6, verse 6. But listen to this. It says there, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, who have you heard that scripture before? But godliness with contentment is great gain. But you know what is so challenging about scripture? Sorry, this is not what I'm saying if I'm bursting any bubbles here. This is just the word of God. Then it defines what contentment is, in case we're confused. Then he says something powerful. He says, for we brought nothing. No, go back. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. There are so many Christians, they have Jesus, and they have their basic needs. But they're not content with that. No. They want more. They want more of this stuff. You know what contentment is? Contentment is, I have peace. I'm happy with what I have. I'm not pursuing anything more. I'm happy. If you're discontent, it means I'm not. This is not enough. This is not right. I want you see what contentment is. But this is just the Bible speaking, so I don't have time to go into this. But then it continues. Yes, verse 9. Now listen to this. Those who want to get rich. Those who hunger and thirst for wealth. Firstly, those who want to. You see the heart? You see where the heart is? The one is pursuing God, and the other one is pursuing stuff. And he says something powerful. Those who want to get rich fall into a temptation and a trap. A trap. And many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people eager for money. You see that? Hungry and thirsty for money. Have wandered from the faith. And have pierced themselves with many sorrows and grief. And this whole portion of scripture is about, where is your heart? Where do you trust? What do you hunger and thirst for? And God is saying, if you hunger and thirst for me, you will be satisfied. But if you hunger and thirsty for stuff. So the question is a simple one. What are you hungry and thirsty for? What are you hungry and thirsty for? What do you really want in life? And God is encouraging us, seek me. Seek me. And all these things, and please don't misunderstand me. If you're rich, there's nothing wrong with it. If you're successful, there's nothing wrong with it. And God wants to bless you, and He's going to add to you. But that's over and above. You know what? My own life is a testimony of that. I came into ministry, and please don't, I'm not saying that's what you must do. That was the call on my life. God called me to the ministry, and I gave up everything. I gave up my inheritance, I gave up the farm, I sold all my stuff, and I came to pursue God with nothing. And I was a volunteer for 2 years, didn't earn a cent, and then my first salary was 300 rand a month. And you know what? The amazing thing is, the only thing that I was seeking after was God and His righteousness. And as I was seeking God, God added to my life. He blessed me. He blessed me, but all these things, the smallest to the greatest things, is a huge blessing. I'm married, I've got a wife. I gave that up. I said, God, I'm not even going to get married. I'm just going to pursue you. And God added to my life. And And I have a beautiful home. I live in a beautiful home. And yes, we only have one car, but I've got three bicycles. You know, but God just adds to my life. And you know what? It's not because I was seeking after the stuff. It just kind of followed me. And all of a sudden, those stuff doesn't, when I lose something or break something, it doesn't hurt that much. And believe me, I break lots of stuff. But I realized because everything that God adds to me is such an awesome blessing because I was never pursuing it. God just, so don't misunderstand me. God wants to bless you, but He's asking you, where is your heart? And if you are stressing and worrying and fearing, God is saying, but if you seek me first, because you're seeking me, because you are following me, I'm saying to you, do not worry about your life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your awesome love for us. God, I want to thank you. Lord, when you saw me in my sin, in my shame, in my guilt, Lord, and you see the destiny of my life, you sent your Son. And Lord, you were willing to empty yourself of everything to become like me, a man. Lord, you were born. Not in wealth, not in fame. Lord, you were born homeless in a manger. You were born from a woman with a label on. She conceived before she was married. You had a label of being illegitimate. A nobody. Lord, you came in this world humbly. And God, you took all my sin, all my shame, all my guilt, God. And you faced the holy God and the consequences of my sin, Lord, so that I can be free, so that I can come to this Father that loves me without fear, knowing that my price has been paid. I'm justified in Christ Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you, God, that I know that you love me and it's not just emotions. It's your Son on the cross. It's how much you love me. I want to thank you for that, God. I want to thank you that I can find my identity not in what people think, not what people say, but what you say. I can stand here today, Lord, knowing that you love me, that I'm your son. And I want to thank you for that, God. I want to thank you that you know my life. You see my beginning and my end, Lord, in front of you. And I can put my heart, my trust in you as a good father, and not fear. And I can be at peace. God, I want to pray for those that here today that are struggling with fear and worry and stress. And if that is you, I just want you, while all the eyes are closed, if you're struggling with worry and fear and stress in your life, I just want you to raise your hand to God. Say, God, here I am. Lord, I have stuff in my life that is out of control, that I have no control over, God. And I'm afraid, God. And I think that's why we're so afraid, because we cannot control it. We don't know what's going to happen. Father, I want to thank you for these hands. Lord, you can drop them again. Father, I want to thank you that you are speaking to them today. You are saying to them, therefore, I'm saying to you, do not worry about your life. Because you have chosen me, I am saying to you, do not worry about your life. And I just want you, just where you're seated there, just to bring those things, just to bring those things before God and say, God, I thank you that I can trust you with my life. Just name those things. Just bring those things before God. Things that causes worry, things that causes stress. Just bring it to God. I want you to take this to God, this thing that consumes you from the inside out. Just leave it at His feet. Say, Lord, I can't do anything about this, but I want to leave it at your feet. And then I want you just to turn away from those things. And I want you to follow Jesus. Just follow Him. Father, I want to thank you that you are a good shepherd. God, I want to thank you that we can boldly declare the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want. Because He leads me. He leads me to where there's waters of peace, of rest, of provision, where my cup flows over. Even though He leads me through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid. Why? Because He's right there with me. Why is He right there with me? Because I'm following Him. And I know where He leads, there's life. And I know He's going to lead me out of hell. Out of the valley of the shadow of death, I know He's going to lead me out of this valley. Yes, maybe I'm going through this, but I'm following Him. And I know where He leads, there's going to be life. God, and I thank You, God, for those who are going through the valley of the shadow of death, God, of uncertainty, of unknowing, of stress and fear, God. And You are saying today, just don't stop following Me. Trust Me. Don't turn to the left or to the right. Don't lean on your own understanding, but follow Me. And I'm saying for you, therefore, I'm saying to you, do not worry about your life. God, I thank You, God, that You're going to lead these hearts, these people, out of the circumstances into where there's life, and they do not have to fear because You love them. Thank You for that, Lord. Thank You for that, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that right now Your Spirit will reign in their hearts. Lord, I pray that You'll pour out Your Spirit in their hearts, that peace that surpasses all understanding, God, the peace that surpasses all understanding, that surpasses all understanding, will reign in their hearts and in their minds, that You love them and You will not let them go. Lord, I want to pray for those, Lord, that have turned away from You, their hearts have grown stuff, Lord, and to other things that You are speaking to today, and You're saying, my child, turn to Me. Turn to Me. If you've never given your heart, if you've never put in your trust completely in Jesus to follow Him, no matter where He goes, maybe you have been following Him and your heart has grown cold. It's started to follow other things and other voices and other opinions. But God is speaking to you today and He's saying, my son, my daughter, I love you. I want to give you peace. I want to give you life. Turn back to Me. If that is you, I just want you to respond to God. Say, here I am, God. I want to turn back to You. Just by quickly raising your hand. Thank you for those hands. You can drop them again. If the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you and God is calling you to turn back to Him, follow Him. If you've raised your hand now, I just want you to do something bold and I want you to quickly come forward. I want to pray with you. I want to pray a word of life over you. So if you have raised your hand, please don't feel shy. Just quickly come forward. I really believe God wants to bless you. Let's just give them a hand. If you raised your hand now, just quickly come forward. Don't feel shy. I really believe God's going to bless you. So if you raise your hand, just quickly, if you believe you need, you've got to respond to this. I really believe you've got to respond to this. God is asking you to come. He wants to bless you. So if you raise your hand, just quickly come. I'm going to give you a moment.